The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
From every angle, it's amazing. The slow-mo is mesmerizing. And the still by Andrew Bernstein is art. But there are people who put it ahead of the LeBron lock. The LeBron lock? Could one of those people be one of these people? Let's go. There's the Booker foul out no call. And then there's the Giannis block saving the NBA's bacon by making it not matter in the end. Bucks 109, Suns 103, and while all attention's on those previous 2 points. Also, how Chris Paul is human. The point, human. The Bucks evening the series 2-2. Number one takeaway from game four, around the horn to Ramona Shelburne.
Look, Chris Paul, I so much respect for this guy. He's been amazing in these playoffs, and maybe this was just a blip, but he had 22 turnovers in his first three playoff rounds. He had 5 last night. He has 15 so far in these finals. He's not taking care of the ball. And, you know, this is why the Suns, they can shoot 51% in this game, but they had 19 fewer shots because of all those turnovers. And, I don't want to not credit Milwaukee. It was a great win for them on their home court. But Chris Paul, this was all set up for him to be a coronation. This was a game that Phoenix could have stole on Milwaukee's home court, and he just flat out didn't get it done.
You're not calling him a liability at this point, though, are you, Ramona?
No, I would never go that far.
Okay, all right. Woody Page, takeaway from Bucks evening the series 2-2.
Well, the first is that Ramona's such a negative person on the show. I mean, it's all about the Bucks. You just mentioned them in passing, like they were just part of the show last night. Let's talk about this. Giannis has been the total team. What happened last night? They were scoring more points without him on the court. They had more plus points. They had a triple-double. They had 12 more offensive rebounds, 10 fewer turnovers, 10 more free throws. Okay. That's the solution to beating the Phoenix Suns. So I think when you look at what that game was about last night, it was about the team effort of the Bucks and the way they were able to come back, even though they were down. They just played so strongly at the end, especially Middleton.
Kevin Blackiston, you seem to be shaking your head a little bit no from you. What are you thinking about the takeaway from game four?
Well, the surprise for me from game four was that the Milwaukee Bucks could win a game without Drew Holiday playing very well. 4-for-20, 0-for-5 from the three-point line. We had said after the first two games where he put up clunkers that he really needed to get going. He did that in game three with, I think, 21 points. And he was horrible, absolutely horrible last night. And still, somehow, they found a way to win. And Giannis didn't even have to be the Superman, although we saw that tremendous block that he had. So I think if you're Milwaukee, you say, you know what, maybe we can lean on our defense a little bit. Sure, you know, we can't stop Devin Booker because he's just a fantastic offensive player. But if we can put the clamps on everybody else, if we can do what we did last night, only allow 13 shots at the rim and force them to take a higher percentage or lower percentage shots, we can still beat these guys.
But isn't Drew Holiday somewhat responsible for Chris Paul's poor game, Kevin Blackiston, which is what Ramona said?
I'm not so certain about that. Sometimes it looked like Chris Paul is just dribbling the ball off his feet, off his knees. I'm not so certain that Drew had a whole lot to do.
Bob Ryan, number one takeaway.
Number one takeaway. Well, the first thing is that we all would have been in agreement before the game that what we most wanted as neutrals was a game that with a minute to go, the outcome would be in doubt. We got that. Now, what happened is very simple. We're going to talk about the breakdown of certain specifics as we go along. I understand that. But this all came down to one very certain simple thing that Magic Johnson told us 35 years ago. There were points in games, we get a situation called winning time. When winning time came, it was very simple. The Bucks made the winning plays, and the Suns didn't. That's it.
And you're talking about the Giannis block specifically, I would assume here, Bob.
Wait a minute. And the negative play that of the turnover and then a basket by Middleton. They made the plays, and the Suns didn't. It's no more complicated than that.
Ramona Shelburne back in.
I'm so glad you said the word Middleton. I think all of us have gone this entire segment without saying Chris Middleton, who had 40 points, 15 of them in the fourth quarter. Ooh. I mean, look, there's a lot of reasons why the Bucks won. Yeah. Okay, they went 15-0 in fast break points, 15-0 against the Phoenix Suns, who usually live in fast break points. They had 17 offensive rebounds, which led to 19 second chance points. They did all the little things well, but at the end of the day, Chris Middleton showed up in that.
All right, what do you? I think would like you to know that he did mention Chris Middleton's name, Ramona Shelburne.
Briefly. So,
Blackstone, I'm picking up what you're putting down here. It seems like you're putting. You used to love '90s NBA basketball, and this game resembled that a little bit with the uglification of it, and maybe you're harping a little bit too much on that, don't you think, Kev?
Oh, I don't know. That was a tough game to watch. I mean, 17 turnovers from the Suns. That first quarter was almost unwatchable to me. People passing the ball to people who aren't on the court. Three-pointers that didn't even draw the net.
Yeah.
I mean, there was some
and
bad
you're right.
Basketball
Drew Holiday might need the mic and drill. Bob Ryan, right? A little bit of the mic and drill to work on those shots at the rim. Let me ask you, Bob, is anybody making the case for they're the better team through four games?
No, what we've got through four games is the home court hold and serve. And we've seen series like this countless times over the years. And that's that.
Woody Page?
No, there's been no separation that I can see yet. No.
Woody?
This is exactly what we want, Bob. We want it to go down to a seventh game. We have two equal teams here. They're now 2-2. They're winning at home. I will not go into that phrase that is always said about the home court advantage. But what we want is sloppy referees. No, we don't
want that. All right,
well,
let's talk about that, Woody Page. Thank you very much. You guys showed great restraint not focusing on the no call. Let's get in there now. The only comp for this Booker no foul out, no call, is Nickell Roby-Coleman, Rams Saints. Right? I mean, that's it. There are people, our friend Jay Adande is one of them here, here's his tweet, that think Devin Booker staying in the game was the best possible outcome because stars shouldn't foul out of big games in big moments. It's preposterous that this wasn't a foul out, right, Bob Ryan? Stars are allowed to foul out when they foul someone, right, Bob Ryan?
Oh, how the standards of Northwestern journalism have slipped, J.A. Stop it. No, that was, look, everything's a matter of degrees in my mind, okay? It was a ticky-tack situation? No, absolutely not. You don't foul him out. That was not ticky-tack. That was salt and battery. That was you know, 3-5 with no time off of good behavior. No, and here's the problem. As soon as that happened, I said, oh, here we go. The conspiracy theorists are going to be out there. They're going to say that the NBA, you know, wants, you know, the referees to control the game. Oh, no. And I know that happened. And that's exactly what was going to happen. No, that was egregious. He had to go.
Blackstone.
You know what was horrible for the NBA last night? Is shortly after that play, what started trending on Twitter? Rigged. The NBA is rigged.
Too, yeah.
If you are the commissioner, you do not want that happening. That not only was that a foul, but it was a purposeful foul because he didn't want to give up a layup, still trying to win the game. And not only did he foul there, but then he came back playing with six fouls and fouled again and didn't get whistled for it. So a lot of integrity problems going down the stretch for the NBA there. And also, do you remember the foul that Jay Crowder got on when he just pretended like he had gotten knocked over and goes sprawling down the court?
Which one?
That wasn't even a foul. I think that's right, exactly. Crowder does that a lot. So a lot of integrity problems for the
integrity
NBA
problems is how Kevin Blackstone calls it. Woody, I mean, what did you see last night with that?
Well, Bob and I have been covering this game for 100 years, and we've seen this over and over again. But I picture in my mind a commissioner sitting in New York with a red phone, and he beeps it and says, this is where we want to fix the game.
Are you making a joke here, or are you serious? Because that is...
Oh, absolutely, I'm making a joke. Those referees last night acted like they were naked and afraid to call any kind of important calls there. And the crew chief afterward admitted they got that play wrong. He said, we saw it from the wrong angle. Well, why not replay it? I mean, you could still do that.
Ramona Shelburne.
Look, the referee there was James Capers, and Dave McMenamin, our reporter there, was the pool reporter, and he has a quote from him saying, look, I thought I saw a clean sweep. I just totally missed his hand on his back. I was at the wrong angle. And Capers actually is one of the better refs in the league. I like that he took responsibility for it. I'm sure he must have been mortified when he saw the replay. I mean, like, I'm sure he just really... Now, that wasn't the only foul, though. A little bit later, there was another foul. It was like 7 fouls on Devin Booker. And I think you have to look at Book, yeah, where he was having a transcendent game. He's got 40 points. He gets that 5th foul early in the fourth quarter, and that's when Milwaukee made its run. So some of this is on Book here, not just on the refs.
Giannis saved the NBA's bacon by blocking the shot and Milwaukee winning the game. Let's talk about it now. Let's see if any of you those people that talked up LeBron block over Giannis block or Giannis block over LeBron block. Game 4 versus Game 7 is what immediately jumps out. But one thing to consider, Bob Ryan, is Giannis is guarding the alley and the oop at the same time. And LeBron was just chasing down. So what's the best block?
Well, they're two different plays entirely because you studied it. LeBron is chasing down, a simple chase down. He had the speed to do it, and they got it done. This other thing was intercepting an alley-oop to a great athlete, and I think it probably was every bit as good a play. However, context is crucial, and this wasn't a deciding game. It was deciding moment of a game in the middle of a series. And so it has to fall a bit short in
historical. Kevin, did Giannis have the best block of all time last night?
Yeah, I can't say it's the best block of all time. I like the historical context that Bob Ryan just provided you there, Game 7. But we could say this, you know, this if LeBron's block was a changing moment in that Game 7 and won the series for him, we can see that this could be a changing moment in this series and turn it around for Milwaukee Bucks. One nitpicking thing, though, on this with Giannis, you know what? LeBron makes the play, and he turns around to go the other way. Giannis makes the play, and he takes time to go over to the fans and flex. Come on, man. This is a big game. Get back down the
court.
You
had a problem with that? All right. Okay. You're a tough grader, Professor. Woody Page, was this the greatest block of all time?
No, LeBlanc was by LeBron. And because it was in the 7th game and because it did lead directly to an accomplishment on the other end of the court, and as KB so fluently said there, LeBron didn't spend time talking about it and showing his skill about he had done it. So the context, as Bob said, is important. Let's look back at the end of the series and we can actually address
and
it
Ramona
again at that point.
Look, if the Bucks win, this play will be the highlight. This is what you'll see in all the montages. And I will say this, there's room for this block to be better because LeBron, if you watch it again, does Iguodala double clutch? J.R. Smith kind of makes him double clutch. He's got a little extra time to catch up.
Bob Ryan, you wanted a last word. I'll give it to you right now as we go to break.
Yes, there's a resident of Seattle, Washington, who will feel this is an utterly irrelevant discussion because the greatest block of all time was Bill Russell's in Game 7, 1957, on Jack Coleman when he ran him down from the next county to save the game in the final minute of play of what was going to be a double overtime victory in their first
championship. Tell us how you really
That's
feel.
That's the greatest play ever.
I love it.
We'll be back and buy or sell next.
And I have a little check to steal. You didn't.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Leagues have employed analysts, mentalists, astrophysicists to make their All-Star games better through the years. Nobody has nailed it like the WNBA. How good was last night? Olympians versus snubs. Arike Ogunbowale didn't make Team USA. She said it was just going to be a fun game. No big deal, blah, blah, blah. She played everybody, as she always does. She's an assassin. Scorched earth last night. Team WNBA 93, Team USA 85. Team USA never loses. Most dominant team of all out there. Sue Bird said they're not Team USA yet. They're not team yet. So they're just USA. Ramona, what are you buying from last night's All-Star game?
That's nice sentiment from Sue, but neither was the All-Star team. They just got together the other day. And,
exactly. You
know, I don't know. Look, Arike Ogunbowale could easily be on this Team USA. So could Candace Parker, who was snubbed back in 2016 and basically said, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm just going to go be a broadcaster. I love the dynamic of this game, and I'd like to see it in the men's side, too. We're always trying to get the All-Star game better. This would make
Woody?
It better.
Ramona, what they should have done going back is the winner of that game is the one that should have gone to the Olympics.
That's a great idea, Woody.
18 of the greatest players in the world last night, and there's another 18 standing by that didn't even get to participate in the game. Three of us were introduced to women's international basketball in 92 when we were talking about the Dream Team. Guess what? This team, the women's team, has been the Dream Team ever since then.
Yeah. Kevin Blackstone.
Yeah, and maybe the greatest basketball game ever was the inter-squad game played by the Dream Team going to Barcelona. So what I would like to see is a playoff to get on this roster. You've got the best women basketball players on the planet. Let them scrape to get
so
on
you're
that
saying
roster.
The selection is a little too opaque for you, and you can see it right here on the court? That's okay.
I would
Bob Ryan, how about you?
That.
The women keep getting better and better and better, as Woody says. I go back to 92 myself. In fact, I go back earlier than that. But the fact is that I'm watching this game thinking, we could send them all. And you know there's more behind them. We're going to win. We have the greatest depth in the world. We're going to win again.
There's some they're not sending. Let's talk about that. Spotlight Square and how Team USA came up with their roster, and that applies to this story. Nneka Gwumike didn't make the cut. Baffled everybody. She's played for Team USA for a decade. It was a core player selection. So when that happened last month, she then applied to play for Nigeria along with her sisters, who all have dual citizenship, FIBA allowing Erica and allowing Chine through provisional, but cited those 10 years with Team USA as why Nneka couldn't switch to Nigeria. Ramona, you've done all the reporting here. The rules are many and layered. How do you consider it all?
Look. One of the core tenets of FIBA is that they want to grow the game around the world. No African nation has won a medal in men's or women's basketball. Team Nigeria with Elizabeth Williams from the Atlanta Dream, who was also denied here, and the Ogunbowale sisters would have been a medal contender, okay? And they have a loophole in this. Generally, after the age of 17, if you played on a senior national team for another country, you're not eligible. But if the Secretary General determines it's in the best interest of growing the game in that country, He can allow it. So there still will be appeals here. It's possible this gets overturned, but they missed a huge opportunity.
In your reporting,
literally what that up.
Ramona,
that is
do you think it shifted the balance too greatly that so many great players were applying?
Well, look, you know, I think in this situation you have three in the IOC. They would have been allowed to play, but FIBA rules are more restrictive. In the IOC, all you have to do is not have played for your other country for 3 years and be a naturalized citizen. And that would have applied to both Nneka and Elizabeth Williams.
The World Cup was in 2018, although I believe it was in September of 2018. Woody Page will bring you in here.
FIBA acted like FIFA here. I think the IOC should step in and overrule. We saw when baseball was introduced to the Olympics that the Greek team, you could play for it if, A, you'd seen Fiddler on the Roof or if you'd ever ordered moussaka in a Greek restaurant. Why in the world are we sitting here dealing with that?
Yeah. Kevin Blackstone.
Our sports over here right now being blessed by an incredible number of really outstanding athletes with Nigerian heritage. It is time for them to take this ruling out of FIBA's hands, out of the IOC's hands, and remember the words of one of my favorite poets, Haki Madhubuti, who wrote in the 1970s to have an African mind in a European setting. That means think about Nigeria first. Go play for them now. They need your help more than this country does.
Always the professor. And Bob Ryan.
Well, number one, I'll have what Ramona's having in general on this whole topic. And number two, this is, what are we talking about here? We're talking about international intrigue and blockheaded bureaucrats that we've encountered forever in the Olympic movement. That's what we're talking about.
Shelburne Blackstone will be our showdown. Woody Page, you're second-guessing your movie or show references there, aren't you?
So many other ones you could have gone
there,
with.
A lot, you know, yeah. Big Fat Greek Wedding. I don't know
Zorba,
what you were thinking.
Zorba. Yeah.
Okay.
You know?
Bob Ryan.
Zorba. How about Zorba?
I don't know. I don't even want to picture you in the Zorba outfit. That's it, Shelburne Stone. Showdown.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Horns down? Never on this show. But it's likely going to be a penalty this season if it's done at Texas players. But okay if you do it at your own fans while playing against Texas. Ramona, care to go around the horn on the thought process here? The coordinator of Big 12 officiating, please?
Well, I think there's too much thought and too much process here. But I, in a way, I'm kind of glad that we have the rule here because now there's clarification on it.
Kevin?
I was in Texas for like 20 years, went to plenty of games, saw the horns down sign plenty of times. It does not impact the game. Do not do that.
This is why we love college sports, honestly. Too much thought, too much process, as you said, Ramona. We'll split the point. Showdown 2, Scottie Pippen's house on Airbnb for the Olympics. You can go watch the basketball games at the house of a dream teamer. Here's what the court looks like. $92 for one night in honor of the gold he won in 92. And quote, an opportunity to give a fan a chance to really live this experience and watch the games from my home and sleep in my bed. KB, how would you describe this Pippen opportunity?
I'd like to know what other amenities come with that. Does he have a whirlpool tub? What about the meals? Can I get room service?
Yeah. Come on, it's $92. It's $92 a night. KB, that's a great deal. It's also, that house has been for sale. So has Michael Jordan's house for a long time. So might as well get some of his money
back. None of you going to go where Bob Ryan just went during the commercial break? He said if he was in Showdown, he would charge $1.80 a night. 1.8.
Ooh.
Woo! Bob Ryan went hard there.
Dang.
Ramona Shelburne's getting the FaceTime today for her reporting and her expertise.
You know, I had a chance to talk to Yusuf Nurkic from the Portland Trailblazers just recently. And he said he's back home in Bosnia where they don't have a lot of vaccine for COVID available there. And it was very frustrating for him because he's lost 4 or 5 of his own family members. So he decided, I'm going to try to buy it for the whole country. I'm going to call the drug makers in the United States and I'm going to try to buy it. But it turns out you can't actually buy it. Even though in America, only half the population seems to want the vaccine, they can't sell it around the world. Nurkic said, we just failed as humanity. We've got to do something better. If people want it, we should be able to buy it.
See you tomorrow.